Stegon.
Hurricane.
Hello, and welcome back to the Golden Hurricast. We are a weekly podcast covering Golden Hurricane Athletics at the University of Tulsa. I'm Ryan Token.
I'm Matt Rechteen, and bye week is over. Hopefully, this has been a well-used week for Davis Brin and everybody else that's hurt on the football team to kind of get back to, a little bit better picture of health. I mean, obviously, injuries don't just go away in the span of a week or two. You hope that they're significantly improved because, football's back. Fortunately, it is a very light test to bring, to kick off the back half of the season against Temple. Ryan, what are your thoughts about, bye week thoughts, anything?
Yeah. You say light test against Temple. Agree. It's the lightest test of the AAC season, at least. Temple is number 109 in SP Plus. We'll get to more of them later. How do I feel about the bye week? I don't know. Who knows? We haven't been in the practices. We don't know how things went. I did hear Owen Ostrowski went on the TU Sports Extra podcast with John Trancina and just talked about the bye week, how it went for them, how they felt after the Navy game, and I know we talked ad nauseum about the Navy game already, but Owen talked about it a little bit in his interview with them, and he, rightly admitted that the defense didn't play obviously how they were expecting to play or how they wanted to play in that Navy game, and that was very obvious to everybody who was watching. There's a lot of, this was the time for the bye week. If we had to go straight into Temple, I would feel not great about winning this game, to be honest, because the injuries were piling up over and over again. And the vibes were not good, and things were just bad in general for Tulsa football. Fortunately, we got some time off. I know, the team doesn't like to call it an off week, but it is a week off for the game and everything. So hopefully you rest up. Offensive line had some injuries. Obviously, Davis Brin is hurt. We've got some guys on the defensive side of the ball that are hurt. Also, hopefully we give Deneric Prince a bunch more reps in practice. Hopefully he can come in as kind of the number one going forward. We'll see if that's the case, but there's a lot. I don't know. There's a lot riding on the Temple game, which is weird. I didn't think that would be the case going into it. It is very important. Tulsa, we're still kind of where we've been most of the season in SP Plus rankings ourselves. We are at 78 there, 59th in offense in SP Plus and 96th in defense. So that's pretty rough. After taking a week and thinking about the Navy game and how down and disappointed and angry everybody was after that game, I was like, okay, how do I feel? A week's gone by, how am I feeling about the team after this? Three straight losses against two very good teams in Ole Miss and Cincinnati, and then one I think kind of up in the air team still about Navy, who just lost to SMU over the weekend. And I feel like quote unquote like the classic father. I'm not mad anymore. I'm just very disappointed in this team. That's how I'm feeling. It's just I'm feeling lethargic and bummed about the season more than I am actively angry. And that sucks. That's the worst feeling. I just feel like there's no hope. And maybe Temple will give me some hope. If we lose to Temple though, all hope is totally lost, right? That is, it's going to be hard to come back from that in any way. So this is, a must win game. Oh, that's a loaded term or whatever. It absolutely is, right? Kind of felt that way about Navy, and we lost. So that sucks a lot. So this is a big one. We don't win this one. There's no reason to be excited about basically the rest of the season. Temple is not a good team. We'll talk about them a lot more later. But that's how I'm feeling, man. It's just weird down about Tulsa football. Really hoping they give me a pickup. I know I'm going to be excited for the SMU game, but it's going to have a a stain on it if we are coming off a loss to Temple. Because SMU is going to be homecoming. We'll both be there, like, at the game. That'll be super fun, regardless of whatever. But, man, if we lose this one, it's like, how are you supposed to have, like, it'll be way more fun if we win. That's all there is to it.
Man, you're, like, talking, and I'm like, should I be more worried about Temple than I am? Because I'm not really. I mean, I look back at their game last week against UCF.
They're not a good team. Yeah.
They gave up 70 points to UCF. Like, they are a quarterback, like, opposition quarterback boon, I guess, maybe is the word. I mean, I can't remember. I only remember the initials. What is UCF's quarterback's name?
John Rhys Plumlee.
Plumlee, yeah. Like, he found his mojo back against Temple. And so, you know, great first start for Davis Brin, but you're over here talking about, like, you know, like, bummed for the season, which I get. I am, like, definitely in agreement with that, which is kind of annoying because, you know, we just came off of basketball last year where I feel like this feeling was definitely there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cratered as the season just got, you know, after that Tulane game. And so hopefully, like, this kind of is that similar. Like, we need to show that, you know, we've got that bounce back. And I think we do. That's where, like, I'm not too concerned about it. I think that of all the teams that we could have played in, like, in a game that we need to figure something out, like, defensively and get, you know, like, our offense all back to the level it was, it's Temple. Like, I don't think that about South Florida anymore. They, like, as much as they keep losing, I feel like these games that they've been playing and have been pretty close, you know, close against Florida, they looked like they were playing Tulane pretty close. I admit, I didn't see anything late in that game.
Yeah, they did. It was close. It was a pretty close game. All the USF fans were pissed about, like, you know, there shouldn't be any moral victories, but I do think they played pretty well.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we still have the, what, 11th ranked offense in terms of yards per game.
Yeah.
And that's with, like, Brin being what he's been like the last 2 weeks, you know, no offensive line. He's trying not to get, like, murdered out there. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of optimism about, you know, if we can get a little bit, he gets some of that mobility back, our offensive line heals up and is also just, like, can progress a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of optimism. The defense, though, that's kind of my concern.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is probably a good game. Like, I just look back to Memphis and Temple and how, you know, Memphis just kind of defensively dominated them. And I think Memphis is a very strong, relatively strong defensive team.
Memphis?
Yeah.
Let me see where they're at in SP Plus. They are 86th in defense.
Okay. Well, better than us. All things relative. They are above us. And so, like, this is a good chance, I think, for the defense to kind of get back in its groove. And, you know, we'll see what Luke Olsen can, like, how he's going to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They're definitely not, you know, I'm not legitimately concerned about losing to Temple, although maybe I should be more than I am. And, you know, I sort of am more than I was a few days ago. But I think coming off the bye week is the key here, right? Where the reason we would lose to Temple is because of this ongoing pile of injuries that we've rallied up over the season so far that have given our, you know, relatively prolific offense no time to make any offensive plays, and then our defense has been worse than expected, right? So the injuries are causing all of this stuff. And now that we've had some time, I feel, you know, Temple's not good. Like, look at their record. They are 2-4, just like us or whatever, but their two wins are over an FCS team in Lafayette and literally the 131 out of 131 last team in the country in SP Plus, UMass, right? Who they did beat 28-0, but UMass is very, very, very bad. They have also lost to UCF 70-13. They've lost to Memphis 24-3. They almost beat Rutgers for whatever that's worth, 16-14. And then they lost to Duke to open the year 30-0. So none of their games except for Rutgers have really been close. And that, you know, they are clearly not good. There is a big talent gap even from Tulsa to Temple. And I think I'm not worried about that game. If we can get out of that game feeling good without, you know, avoid injuries, get out of there with a win. It's on the road, right? It's not like it's going to be a crazy road atmosphere or anything. But I don't know. It's just the Navy game was such a beatdown and such a moral conflict, I think, for Tulsa's team. And I do think they're going to come into this game pissed off that this season has started the way it's been, annoyed that they've had to deal with this injury bug that's been biting them, that hopefully they are relatively recovered from now, and take that into Temple and try to grab some big time momentum before they go into SMU. So, or, you know, before they welcome in SMU to homecoming the week after. So, no, I'm not concerned about losing to Temple. If I was, that would be really, really bad. I don't think anybody really should be, though, in the American. I think even South Florida, I would put pretty high above them at this point. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, it's a big game. Got to win it. Got to take the momentum into SMU when they come into town. But no, I mean, they are, you know, when you compare Temple's offense and defense, it is not good, right? Like they're better on defense, and they are absolutely terrible on offense. I think, let me find their SP Plus thing. So they're 63rd on defense, which is actually better than I would have expected, especially coming off the UCF game right there where they allowed 70 points. But they're 123rd on offense, right? One of the worst offenses in the country. They're starting a true freshman at quarterback. We'll get into him later on too, but they don't, you know, nothing about them is necessarily impressive in any way. And we do have parts of our team that are impressive, right? So I think just on talent alone and game plan alone and the maturity on this team, Temple's also extremely young. I think we're going to get the win, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's definitely, you got to get it. Otherwise it ruins everything.
Yeah, I was just looking them up on the Outrank, you know, fun little app. And I think they are total offense 126th, like rushing offense 128th in the country.
Yeah.
Like passing offense 106th. So, I mean, it would be very hard. Like, I was going to comment, you're like, oh, I think their defense is better. Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to be worse than their offense at this point.
But so, it is 63rd in SP Plus, right? So that is like actually pretty decent. So I was surprised it was that high, honestly, for how they rank in defense for SP Plus.
Yeah, no. And I mean, looking just at their College Football Reference page, they're like 64th of 131 as in terms of like points per game. And then you do yards per game, I think they're like 50 something, maybe. So yeah, it's not necessarily, which is fine, I think, in this matchup, because, you know, our offense is 100% the stronger part of our team at this point. So, you know, if Temple's going to be, if they're good at defense, but not
offense, I would definitely have it that way.
That suits us way better than the reverse.
Yes, 100%. Totally agree. And I mean, we're already rolling on Temple here, so I think we can just do the rest of the preview while we're already talking about them. But it is like, I mean, we do match up well, right? With what the few things that they do well, I think compare with what we don't, or what we also relatively do well, and the things that they're bad at, we're pretty good at, and can hopefully take advantage of. So I guess we'll run down here. Their head coach is Stan Drayton. He is first year head coach for them after Rod Carey got ran out of town after kind of tanking that program over 3 years, sadly. We already said their SP Plus stuff. They're 109th overall in SP Plus, but the offense is 123rd in the country. Again, reminder, there are 131 FBS teams this year. Their defense is number 63 in SP Plus. We already went through the record and stuff, 2-4, 0-2 in the American. Last year, they were also bad. They beat Akron, Wagner, and also somehow Memphis, which always makes me laugh because Memphis was actually like pretty decent last season. So how Temple beat them, I have no idea. And then the spread on this one is Tulsa by 13, and the over-under is 52.5. And the all-time series lead there is tied, actually, just 3-3. So we got a tiebreaker game coming in here.
I kind of feel like we can hit the over just ourselves.
I agree. I think that is a lower number than I would have thought, too. I know Temple's probably not going to put many points up, you know, hopefully. That's probably what Vegas is thinking, at least. And so, yeah, I mean, if the offensive line gets it together, I know Temple is actually, like, pretty highly ranked in sacks. I have the numbers here somewhere, but I can't find them off the top of my head here. But they are, like, top something, like top 15, I think, and maybe it's, like, fourth.
Seventh.
Yeah, seventh. Like, top 10 in total sacks for the year. So they are bringing the pressure, which, obviously, you know, that is the worst thing for us when we can't seem to stop anybody, whether it's Cincinnati or Navy or anybody who, after that Ole Miss game, like the end of that game when they were blitzing all the time, that's what every team has done ever since. And it's been tough sledding for us. So if the offensive line has solidified, which especially during bye week, all these young guys, you know, they've got half a season under their belts now. You'd hope for some serious progress there. I don't think that's unrealistic. So if they have, then I agree. We could absolutely light them up on the scoreboard. But yeah, like what you said earlier, Matt, the bigger question is on defense. Like, can we solidify that side of the ball? Because that has dropped dramatically since last year, and especially since 2 years ago. So how can we rally on the defensive side? Can the offensive line get healthy enough to give Davis Brin some time and try to make some freaking room for the running game? Because that hasn't been existent at all. And I think those are big questions, right? I think this is going to be a good game coming off a bye week. We can hopefully go in there feeling pretty confident. Hopefully we maintain that confidence throughout the game, beat them pretty bad, and go into SMU. But like, you look at it, Temple is bottom 15 in the country in first down offense, rushing offense, scoring offense, like everything to do with offense. They are straight up really bad at fourth down conversion percentage, third down conversion percentage. They also lose a lot of fumbles, and they also don't recover any fumbles. So we should beat them right now. Like, they, but you know, again, on the other side, defense, they're a little better there, but then you look like UCF had no problem scoring on them with a running quarterback, which, you know, maybe we'll see some Braylon Braxton getting in there trying to do what John Rhys Plumlee does for UCF. Some of the bigger names to know for them. Their quarterback, we mentioned him earlier, EJ Warner. He is, yes, the son of Kurt Warner, NFL Hall of Famer, former St. Louis Rams, Arizona Cardinals quarterback, all that stuff. His actual son. So for all we know, he'll be at the game. That'd be kind of cool. I don't know. He took over the starting quarterback job this year early in the season, like in the second game or maybe early in the third game. I'm pretty sure it was the second game. From DeJuan Mathis, who was a Georgia transfer who played all season last season and was not very good and didn't start this year off very good at all either. So EJ Warner takes the job. So far, he is completing 56% of his passes. He's got 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, has only been sacked 2 times. So maybe their offensive line is a bit of a strength as well. Their leading running back, who, you know, their running game is not great. None of their offense is great. So take this all with a grain of salt. But their leading running back is Edward Sadie. He is averaging 3.1 yards a carry on 51 carries. They do have like 2 other guys after him who get a decent number of carries, but Sadie is easily the most. The other two are a sophomore, Darvon Hubbard, and a junior, Jakari Norwood. So watch out for those guys, I guess, on the running game. And then they've got 2 very obvious lead receivers who have extremely similar stats, and then nobody else after them really makes much of an impact.
It's just interesting how their third, like, so Jakari Norwood has, like, what, 27, but their third most used rusher is Quincy Patterson, like the third string quarterback.
I know. I saw that too. So interesting. Yeah. Good call out. I don't know anything about that dude. So yeah, they probably do like a Braylon Braxton style thing with him where they bring him in, mostly for running plays is my guess, but haven't watched enough Temple I've watched 1 full Temple game this year and I didn't see him. But you know, maybe it's every now and then they bring him in, rarely.
Yeah. I don't think he's had any passing
okay
attempts since the UMass game.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And then just to round out offensive guys on that side of the ball, like I was saying, 2 obvious lead receivers here, and then the other one's not getting much action at all. One of them is actually a very talented player. He's been on the team for years and seemingly has been a lone bright spot on that team for like ever since I've been watching Temple. Very old, like his name's Jose Barbone. I don't know when he got there. I know he's got it. He's got to be. He's probably like a grad transfer at this point. He's been there forever. But he's a smaller guy, 6'1", 185. He has 28 catches this year for 420 yards and 1 touchdown. And then across from him, they've got another senior, Adonicus Sanders, 6'1", 190. Also 28 catches, same number of catches as Jose Barbone. But he's at 350 yards and also 1 touchdown, same as Jose. So no other receiver after those two has more than 10. So it is clearly those guys and basically nobody else. And that's who to watch out for on the offensive side. On the defensive side of the ball, I don't have much to say here, but they are, like we said, they are definitely better when you're comparing the two between offense and defense. They are better on the defensive side. And their leading tacklers there are sophomore linebacker Kobe Wilson and another sophomore linebacker, Jordan McGee. Both those guys have 36 total tackles. Jordan McGee has 3 sacks. Wilson has 1.5. Their sack leader, though, is a junior, Leighton Jordan, who has 4.5 sacks on the season.
Geez, and I'm just looking at their sack numbers plus their tackles for loss. Like, Leighton Jordan has 9 tackles for loss, 7.5 for Jordan McGee.
Yeah.
3.5 for Kobe Wilson. I think they're 5th in the country in terms of number of sacks and 7th on sacks and 4th on tackles for loss.
Man. Okay. So yeah, I mean, they're bringing the heat for sure. So
yeah,
like that.
Could be tough for our, you know, for Bryn and for our running backs.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that'll be, I think that's the story of the game once again. If they're really going to blitz that much, like, even if it's Temple, right? If they have, they obviously have a good stat, which is this, which is getting to the quarterback, putting pressure on him. And if we have no answer again for that, you know, there's a real chance we lose, right? Because if the offense has no time to get a playoff and we can't stop anybody on the defensive line, then we're not going to make anything happen, right? So the big one.
Yeah, I think the one difference between, you know, because that's how Navy kind of just dominated us is because we just, that exact situation. But, you know, Navy runs the triple option unique offense that we just have not figured out how to stop, whereas Temple probably won't be putting up 55 points.
Yes,
so
even if
our offense is struggling against, you know, the blitz, I think we'll have enough chances that we'll be able to make enough happen.
Totally agree. Yeah, and that's a good point. And, like, you know, I agree. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, Navy putting up 51. There's absolutely no way Temple puts up 51. And as I say that out loud, I'm, like, hurting myself internally. I think it's, you know, the worst case scenario is we lose this game, like, 23-21 or something like that, right? It's going to be a low scorer, and we can't get anything on offense, and because they're blitzing the crap out of us, and still our defense is having trouble stopping their horrible. There's no way we lose this game. I just don't see it happening. They're not talented. So, you know, even with all that, even if they can get to the quarterback consistently, I think we have enough weapons. You know, even with Navy last week, we put up 21 points, and that was just Davis Brin chucking it up in the air out of without even seeing anybody, like Keelan Stokes. He just, like, threw it up and while getting smoked, and Stokes found that ball, caught it. It actually was a very good pass, and then ran like 50 yards, you know, because we've got the offensive skill to beat those guys and get open. So just got to give Davis just a half second more time to stand in there and deliver an extra, you know, a nice pass.
A 23-21 point loss would make me question a lot of things. Like, first, why am I wasting my time watching that kind of football game? That would be such an ugly game.
Ugh. Yeah, no, I know. Because you're a Tulsa fan, baby. That's what you have to deal with. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, no, I hear you. It would not be great. That was the worst case scenario. I definitely don't want it to sound like I think we're going to lose this game. I definitely do not, especially coming off the bye. I think we're probably feeling pretty good. I think the vibes are hopefully going toward the other direction now, of more positive going into a game that we should win. Obviously, Vegas thinks so. Favored by almost 2 touchdowns on the road. So, should do it. In terms of the spread, though, Matt, 13 points. So let's assume, you know, that things are as we kind of hope, that the offensive line's healed up, Bryn is healed up, he's the starter. We maybe bring in Braxton for some running stuff, you know, stuff like that. Do you think Tulsa covers that 13-point spread on the road?
I do. I think, you know, if everything that you just said, I'm not going to repeat it, we should cover. I mean, we should win by at least 2 touchdowns, if not more. I mean, you look at UCF, what they just did, we have the better quarterback. Obviously, UCF probably has the better line. Not many people have a worse line than ours has been statistically this season. But we have the better quarterback. And so Davis Brin should be able to. I mean, he destroyed them last year. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to do the same thing this year.
Well, we have the better passing quarterback, but UCF has the better running quarterback. So is there, maybe they are just really horrible at rushing defense. Let me pull up their rushing defense numbers here. Rushing defense, 86th. Okay, so about where they're at with, like, total defense. And then
their passing is probably like 29th.
Man, what is that called? I can't even find it on here.
Passing yards allowed.
Oh, yes, thank you. God, I'm just, like, scrolling around. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there you go. So passing defense seems to be a little bit better than their rushing defense, in which case that would benefit the rushing quarterback, which is what UCF has. Although the rushing quarterback of UCF, John Rhys Plumlee, went like 18 of 22, right over 4 touchdowns. So
yeah, he threw 433 yards. Like, obviously, just being a running quarterback is not the reason.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, maybe the threat of it, you know, leaves some guys open or something. I don't know. I didn't watch the game. No, I agree. I was just trying to look for a counterpoint there on why. Because I do think, like, Plumlee is a better runner than Davis Brin. There's no question about it. So I was looking to see if there was any reason that might have affected that game. But I agree, though. I do think overall, I think Davis Brin is a better quarterback than Plumlee. I think he's one of the best in the conference, especially when he's healthy and has a line that can block for him. So agreed. I think, you know, there shouldn't be any reason we can't put up some serious points on this game. And I agree with you. I do think we'll cover that spread. Haven't bet on a Tulsa game this year. I am pretty tempted to bet on this one. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. The sacks thing scares me. Temple being seventh in the country in sacks or whatever the number was you said. Aside from that, though, I think we're pretty solid, right? Tulsa's rushing offense is bad. Temple's rushing defense is also bad, right? So that we should make some progress there. Tulsa's rushing defense is bad. Temple is 128th in rushing offense, right? So everything that we're bad at, we are fine. Like, they're not going to be able to exploit it. And everything that they're good at, we can mostly, we're kind of good on the flip side of that. So I think we'll be fine, especially after a week of rest. Hopefully some, like, you know, solidifying on the OL, and Brin is hopefully okay. But even if, you know, I think even with Braxton, I think he could really exploit them himself. So regardless of who's playing, I think we're going to blow them out this game. I think the team is pissed off. Like I said, I think they know that they're better than 2-4. They'll be out for blood. I hope that's how they're feeling. Temple's easy, and Temple, you know, they're an easy target. You look at that schedule, you're looking for some relief in the middle of the season, coming off a bye after some down games. You're looking for a win. These guys are hungry for a win. And I think that's going to be a big one that we pick up and get that motivation going and momentum happening before homecoming.
And I just want to prepare you and everybody else. In every game that Temple has scored points in, they've scored first. So don't be surprised if that happens again this week.
Wow, good call.
And then we turn around. Nice. The only game they did not score first in is Duke. So, because they scored 0 points.
Yes, very nice.
So just be prepared to be down like 3-0 until the 6-minute mark of the first quarter, and then we just go off. So there you go.
Good stat. Had no idea that was a thing. That's cool. Also, should add, as we mentioned betting, we are not betting professionals or offering betting advice. So don't take any of our words for it. However, I do, once again, feel confident about this game. So we will see. I agree, Matt. I think we're going to cover. I think we're going to look good. I know, you know, probably after the game, everybody will be like, who gives a shit? It's just Temple. But like, you need it. Tulsa needs a win bad against anybody just to get some mojo. If it doesn't happen, fine. Be pissed. Like, you deserve to be pissed, right? Everybody deserves to be pissed if we lose this game. But when we win by a lot, which I think is going to happen, it should be celebrated. And I think that will be a nice lift for the team emotionally, as they're kind of scrambling right now after three losses in a row. Tough losses in a row. Physical losses in a row.
Yeah, we're allowed to enjoy wins.
Yes, some people don't seem to think so.
Right, I am not one of those people.
Yeah, I will take them every single freaking time, no matter who it's against. I just, you know, it's fun. It's fun to see. Okay, anything else on Temple, Matt? I think we got through most of the... I'm trying to think if there's anything key about that team that we didn't talk about.
No, I don't think so. What time is that?
Game time. Yes. The Temple game is on Friday, which I didn't realize until yesterday. So, oof. It's coming up soon. Going to get this podcast out hopefully soon. And the game is at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on Friday. Don't have the TV channel up. Let me see if I can pull that up right now.
I think it's ESPN 2.
Matt, you nailed it. ESPN 2. Look at that. ESPN 2. So if you can't go to the game, if you can't make it to Philly, which is not surprising, then you can watch it on ESPN 2, which is what I'll be doing. Also, Friday, that's perfect, because if you want to go to Oktoberfest on Saturday, then it won't be getting in your way. So there you go.
And if you want to go to Oktoberfest on Friday, they have TVs.
Very true. Great point. Cool. Okay. Let's wrap it on the Temple preview. I want to do some Around the American real quick, and then we can wrap it up with some other sports. Look at this. We are going to be under an hour. There's no way we don't, because Around the American always takes like 5 to 7 minutes. And then the other sports, I know we got some good stuff over there, but like, I don't think it's going to be 25 minutes. We'll see. We should start talking before it drags out. So Around the American, it was an interesting week. I guess we'll give a quick shout out here. We now have the first team in the American, or we have one team in the American that is ranked, and that is not Cincinnati. It is not Houston. It is not UCF. It is the Tulane Green Wave. They are ranked for the first time in many, many years, since 1998. They are number 25 in both polls. Great, awesome stuff for the Wave right there. Matt, you look like you're doubting me. Is there another team that's ranked?
Isn't Cincinnati 21?
Yes, they are. They are number 21. Yep, you got it. Okay, yeah. Good correction, Matt. Cincinnati at number 21, but I got too excited about Tulane being ranked. So Tulane ranked for the first time since 98, like I said. Awesome. We'll get to their game in a bit, but man, they've had a hell of a season. Cincinnati's still up there as well. So we will start with the Thursday game, and that was the one we sort of talked about a little bit already, and that is UCF playing Temple at home in Orlando, and that was a beatdown. I didn't watch any of it. It was 70-13 UCF. Unsurprising, you know, the score is somewhat surprising. I don't know, that is a hell of a lot of points, but UCF is clearly the more talented of the teams. It's not even close in terms, like, UCF still, like, I mean, maybe still is the wrong word, but they have a lot of four stars on that team, probably more than anybody else in the league. Cincinnati might be up there as well, but those two for sure have, you know, on paper are the most talented. And Temple straight up does not. They lost a team, they lost a bunch of people into the transfer portal last season. They've got a brand new coach this year, which, you know, always causes turnover and turmoil within the team and whatever. So they are building up from nothing. UCF is building up from a position of strength. And this is what happens when that happens for the most part. Here's their quarterback set. John Rhys Plumlee, 18 of 22 for 373 yards and 4 touchdowns with no picks. And then you've got 2 UCF wide receivers, Ryan O'Keefe and Kobe Hudson, each with over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, respectively. That is insanity. That is pretty cool. Temple's quarterback, EJ Warner, like we mentioned, true freshman, 24 of 43 for 234 yards and 1 touchdown, no picks. So, you know, a pretty fine game for a true freshman against what is arguably the best defense in the league, potentially better than Cincinnati's as well, with UCF over there. What the real problem was, they could not get anything going on the ground. They ran for 59 yards total. That was on 27 carries. That is like a 2.3 yard average per carry. That is really rough. They're, once again, one of their lone bright spots, that Jose Barbone, their senior that's been there for forever. 7 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. So pretty solid game from him. So UCF cleans up against Temple there. Going into Friday, super interesting game. One of the two most interesting games of this week, and that is SMU playing Navy in Dallas, right? So very fun one. Navy coming off the monstrous win over us. Seems like they have turned the corner finally on offense, going into a team who is kind of scrambling in SMU and trying to find their footing on both sides of the ball over there, especially after last week. So SMU gets the win, though, 40-34 in Dallas, like I said, which means Navy has not necessarily turned into the world beaters that some people, me possibly included, thinking they might have turned into after dismantling us the way that they did after that. So still mortal, the Navy midshipmen are, and the triple option. Navy or SMU got them, 1-6. And the reason was, I watched a good chunk of this game. SMU did what you need to do against Navy. What everybody talks about what you need to do against Navy, you need to get out to an early lead. And when you get out to an early lead against Navy, they have to abandon everything because they want to keep things slow and steady and play their game, right? SMU comes out hot, on fire. They score immediately. They score like two or three times in a row before Navy really has a chance. And Navy all of a sudden has to throw like crazy. Navy's quarterback, Ty Lavitai, passed 21 times against SMU. That is not what they're looking for. Against us, he passed 6 times. That's what they're looking for, right? Something more like that. So they had to abandon ship pretty... Oh, wow, look at that pun. Navy having to abandon ship. Did that on accident. Had to abandon ship right there earlier than they wanted to. And that cost them, right? They're not going to be able to play their game. Their fullback, Daba Fofana, who you might remember from our game, who just like ran all over us, 7.6 yards a carry against us and like 3 touchdowns. He averaged 2.9 yards a carry against SMU. So SMU had the answer for him, whatever that answer was for the triple option. And then on offense, they had, you know, it was all about just like big chunk plays for SMU. They had 4 of their receivers had over 20 yards per reception on average, and they were throwing the ball all over the place as they do. So that's how you do it. That's how you do it against Navy. You pass like crazy. You try to get out to an early lead, and they have to abandon their game plan and can't do what they want to do with the triple option and the heavy run game. Going into Saturday, there were 2 games. One of them is the Tulane game. That is Tulane playing South Florida in New Orleans, so home game for Tulane. And they got the win, 45-31, unsurprising, since I already mentioned that they are ranked now, and they were not ranked last week, and they would not be ranked if they lost this game. So there you go. That's how that works out. So Tulane wins this one. Bummer for South Florida. They are on fire now. Their head coach is like one of the two most seat-on-fire guys in the country at this point. And it gets worse. USF starting quarterback Gary Bohannon got hurt in the first half, so he's out for the season. That came in today. So he's done. He's been actually kind of a bright spot for that team, despite their losses. He has actually not played that badly, especially for the last like two or three games. But he's done for the year, which, oh boy, that hurts, that especially for their coach. So in comes sophomore quarterback Katravis Marsh. He goes by Trey, so maybe it's Katravis Marsh. He came in. He played okay, to be honest. It was about the same kind of stat line as Bohannon. But Tulane, still on fire. They are 6-1 with just that ridiculous, stupid loss to Southern Miss, which Southern Miss is not a good team, right? They have beaten Kansas State. They beat an up-and-down Houston team, mostly down, and then they beat a pretty solid East Carolina team. Those are all pretty good wins for Tulane, and, man, they could easily be 7-0. I cannot believe they lost a Southern Miss game. But they're, like I said, now 6-1, ranked for the first time since 1998. They're number 25 in both polls. So good for them. I feel like everybody loves Tulane. They're like the good, you know, the friendly, you know, like the Casper, the friendly ghost of the American. Just everybody likes them. And so happy for them. But bummer for Jeff Scott and the Bulls. Seems like his time is quickly coming to an end unless they see a dramatic turnout. Unless maybe, you know, when I first said their quarterback got hurt and that was like doom for the quarterback, maybe it's better, you know, because then he can be like, well, we would have won some if he didn't get hurt, you know. I don't know. I mean, the argument against that is like, well, he wasn't hurt for the whole first half of the season. You were 1-6 or whatever the record is right now. So maybe that doesn't, but it's interesting. I wonder, like, it just doesn't feel like he's going to get it going there. This was supposed to be their breakout year. Like, everybody thought preseason poll and just the media in general were kind of picking them. Not like a dark horse to win the conference, you know, but like, it should have been a jump and it just wasn't. Yeah. I mean, even they could be bad, but like, just don't finish in last, you know, and it seems like they're going to. Again, and for the resources and the student population and everything that USF has, that is very bad. It's just not, should not be acceptable over there. And I like Jeff Scott. I think he's a good guy, but he's not getting it done on the field. And then the last game of the week, probably the second most interesting game, was ECU Memphis. Two teams that are like in the average to upper tier, I'd say, of the American, but still like nobody can figure them out, either of those teams, because they keep losing ridiculous games or winning games they shouldn't. And both of those happened in this game because they played each other. ECU beat Memphis, and Memphis should have won this game. I watched a good chunk of this one as well. And got to say, you know, the Boneyard podcast, they love to put an asterisk on a certain game that was against us from 2 years ago. And they got to be putting one on this one for themselves, because ECU got two absolutely crazy calls late in this game to keep them alive. One was a deep pass to CJ Johnson that straight up was not a catch. They like, it wasn't even reviewed, which made it even worse. They on TV, they showed it, you know, they showed the slow-mo and everything, and clearly hits the ground. And the announcers are like, how are they not reviewing this? Like, you could clearly see the ball hit the ground. Didn't even get reviewed. Nobody called the timeout, nothing. And so that was like a 40-yard bomb, like a big time play late in the game that kept them alive. So that one happened, kept them going. They were down at this point, obviously. And then closer to the end of, like, very, very close to the end of the game, they're knocking on the door trying to take the lead here, and they get this touchdown run by Keaton Mitchell that puts him up. And that touchdown was not a touchdown. This one was reviewed. It clearly, like, I mean, it looked to me like he was not in. The announcers were all like, yeah, it'll get overturned. They called it a touchdown on the field, and all they said was it stands. So got to keep the touchdown in there, which two big plays down the stretch gave them a 2-point win over Memphis. So if you're not putting an asterisk on that one, then you shouldn't be putting it on the Tulsa game. So pretty ridiculous, but East Carolina now 4-3, 2-2 in the American. That is exactly the same as Memphis now as well.
Do they comment anything about it in relation to like, oh, you know, like maybe there's an asterisk on this game. Like, I'm going to imagine, of course, they didn't.
I don't know. I didn't look. I was going to tweet at them and then decided to be the bigger person and not. So pats to me on the back. I did not do that. But yeah, I'm not sure. I meant to go look to see if they even said anything about it. My guess is no. I would be very surprised if they said anything like that. And then just to wrap this up, that's all the games for the week. But just want to give a debrief on the overall standings in the American right now. Tulane sitting alone at the top. They've got a game advantage over Cincinnati. They've played an extra game, so that's why. But Tulane is 6-1. Cincinnati is 5-1. So it goes Tulane, Cincinnati, UCF tied with Cincinnati. Both of them are 2-0 in the conference, 5-1 overall. And then after that, you've got East Carolina and Memphis tied in both categories, conference and overall. Like I just said, they're both 4-3 overall. They're both 2-2 in the league. And then going down the stretch, it's Navy, Houston, SMU, Temple, us sitting at 11th. Or wait, at 10. We have 11 in the conference, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yep, Tulsa at 10th. So we're actually below. I guess we're exactly tied with Temple right now. 0-2 in the league, 2-4 overall. And then South Florida alone at the bottom, 1-6, 0-3 in the league. There you go. Sucks to see Tulsa down there. Tough start to the schedule for us, I know, with playing Cincinnati right off the bat and then playing a weird Navy team who, you know, I don't want to say we should have won because we just got our butts handed to us by them, but it shouldn't have been that bad. So whatever. Going into Temple, should definitely get that win. That'll at least move us up a little bit and give us some momentum, like we've said. So I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird seeing Tulane at the top, and it's weird seeing us in second to last. I bet a bunch of other people in the American would not be surprised to see Tulsa second to last, but I am. I mean, I know our team is better than second to last in this league, so it sucks to see us down there.
If you're curious, the comment was, I can't believe these announcers are trying to like convince us that that wasn't a catch.
Oh my God. No way. I mean, they had to not be watching the game. I mean, it was so clearly not a catch. That is so funny. I cannot believe that they thought that at first and then thought it so hard that they tweeted it out. Oh my gosh, that was the most obvious non-catch I've ever seen. The announcers are losing their minds. They're like, how could you not even review this thing? That is funny. and that is everything in the American. Kind of an awkward week, but hey, look at that. We've got two AAC schools ranked now, which, man, we have, you know, it's been a down year for the American, but it's been a down year for like the G5 in general, which still gives the American, we are still clearly the front runners right now to get that New Year's Six bid, whether it's Tulane or Cincinnati. And that, you know, with how the season started for a lot of these schools, that was not how it was looking like it was going. UCF, you know, looked okay, but like with how Houston started being such a hyped up school and everything, falling off really fast, and a couple like ECU not being where they were hoping to be, SMU being, surprised me that they are as low as they've been so far. I thought this was the year with the rest of the American being pretty down. I thought they had a real chance to take the league. And, you know, they still, you know, it's not out of the question for them. They've only lost one conference game, but I don't think anybody saw the 3-3 record coming to start the year.
Yeah, it's like right after the Sun Belt teams like do something really good, they then just cannibalize each other.
Man, it's crazy. Madison, do you see? Was it, you know, Texas State beat last year? Texas State beat App State or what was that? Was that the game? App State lost to somebody like bad. I was like, oh
yeah,
they keep doing that. I don't know what the deal is.
James Madison just lost, got knocked out of there. You know, went from first year in 25, and then now they're not.
Yeah,
in. And then you look, UCF is now the third team out in the AP poll. You know, like right behind Purdue and LSU. Granted.
Yep.
They have like 13 votes, so they're not super close. But
yeah, they're definitely. I mean, that people are UCF. People were way down early because they were winning these games, but it was looking ugly. They lost the Louisville one, who was not that good of a team. It's like, man, but then, you know, they're coming back, and the quarterback seems to be making it. You know, at least making it look like he knows what he's doing. So they're definitely in the running as well. But then, yeah, also you've got, I just looked them up, Coastal Carolina. They were undefeated up till this week. They just lost to Old Dominion, who's honestly a solid team, but. Like they lost by, what is that? 28. Lost by 28 to Old Dominion. Oh my God. So nobody can get it done. Like they all have these big games in the Sun Belt, but they keep, like you said, they're cannibalizing each other. Fun league though. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That is it. Let's move on to the other sports here. You want to lead us off, Matt? I know you've got, I don't remember what all you had outlined here, but I know you've got some stuff you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So I'll start off with women's golf. And so I tweeted about this earlier this week already, but the women's golf won the Dale McNamara Invitational. This is a tournament that we hosted, and I believe we host it every year in the fall. And so with this win, it was their second straight title, coming right off the Barbara Nicklaus Cup, and third top three finish, with the other one being the Green Wave Classic this fall.
Okay.
And so
real quick question. I am looking at this in my browser and I'm just on like Tulsa women's golf schedule and none of them have results. I see all these things that you mentioned just now, but all of them, am I missing something?
Yeah. I don't know why they don't put results. Like you can go through all the like news, press releases and that'll have the results, or you can find the actual websites for these tournaments and they actually will have the rankings. Yeah. It's kind of frustrating.
Okay. Just making sure I wasn't missing something obvious.
It's, I believe it's just seems to be like cross country doesn't have anything either. It's like these early tournaments or these like non standard season, you know, like women's golf is normally the bigger season is in the spring, but yeah. They have these like five tournaments that they're in this fall. And yeah. So they just won Dale McNamara, which was here, Barbara Nicklaus Cup, not sure exactly where that was, and then finished third at the Green Wave Classic, which was in New Orleans, if you might guess. For this most recent one, they beat Nebraska by a stroke.
Look at that.
I know, pretty exciting. And then Lovisa Gunner finished second overall, losing to Nebraska's top by a stroke with a score of 214. So,
gotcha.
All in all, like, very strong tournament. I think that's what it is called in golf, I imagine. And they've got one left this fall, the Jim West Invitational, which is hosted by Texas State. And that should be, it's the 23rd and 24th, which I believe is Sunday and Monday of this upcoming weekend. So they've had very, very good fall season. I think the only one that they, you know, didn't even place in was the Sooner Classic. And that was a bunch of big players at OU. So
cool.
And then moving along, we've got cross country. They had a pretty exciting weekend. They were at the Nuddycombe Invitational,
yeah,
which is, right, you know, as we've talked about, two straight fun invitational names with the Chili Pepper Festival one,
yeah, right,
that they were at.
And the Cowboy Jamboree was right before that.
Yeah. And so the Nuddycombe Invitational is like one of the big events of the fall. And so you had 17 of the top 25, like at least on the men's side, teams,
damn,
participating in this tournament.
Yeah, nice.
Or this race.
Also, and no so, results on the schedule. Very frustrating.
No results on the schedule. I've got them all. Yeah. I've got all the results pulled up, though, that I'm looking at right now. And yeah. So TU men's team finished sixth out of 33.
Wow.
Again, these were some of the top,
yeah,
teams in the country. And sixth is actually better than their projected. I think like eighth was based on their ranking is what they were expected to finish.
All right.
So with that, we had Michael Power was named the American athlete of the week in men's cross country. Cause he finished 11th in this race, and TU ended up having four runners finish, with top 20 finishes.
Man.
And so I don't know if you know how cross country scoring works.
Literally not at all.
Yeah. So your five runners, it's either your top five or you only have five. I believe it's your top five. Whatever place they get, that's the number of points you have. And so you want, right, as few points as possible.
Yes.
So okay, we finished with like 214 maybe. Yeah, we had 214 and that was sixth place. And then first place, like Stanford had 54 because they had...
Holy...
How many,
your top five runner? How do you top five? How many people run in this thing? There must be a ton. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
like,
I remember, I'm thinking back to like cross country from high school, and those were always really heavily populated.
Yeah, it looks like seven per team. So there were 245 runners.
Okay. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah. So like Stanford had 1, 3, 7, 13, and 30.
Jesus.
And then
disgusting. So too good.
We had 11, 14, 18, 19. And then 152.
Yeah. So, okay. That hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's generally what it comes down to is like you have a couple like really good runners.
Yeah.
And then you have like, there's probably just, at least that's what we're like, we're, I guess, top heavy.
Yeah. It's a depth game. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah. So, and then on the women's side, they competed in the Nuddycombe as well. Fortunately didn't have nearly as good of a turnout. They ended up finishing 35th out of 36 teams. So not a great finish for them. They did beat Gonzaga though. So that's pretty exciting.
Cool.
And then next up for both these is the American Conference Championship.
Oh,
that,
right,
Tulsa is hosting.
Nice.
On October 28th. So that is, I believe, a week from Friday.
Very cool. Do you want to kick us off on men's soccer and then I'll do women's soccer and women's volleyball?
Yeah. So on the men's soccer side, they only had one match against Memphis this week at home. They shut them out. It was 3-0. We had three different guys score. Sergio Baena Mariano Fazio and Alvaro Torrijos. And so two of those, Torrijos and Fazio, were named the offensive and defensive players of the week, respectively, as well as they both got named to some national teams for this week. I believe Torrijos was on the he was the College Soccer News, and Fazio was a Top Drawer Soccer, both named to Players of the Week. And so that puts us at 7-2-2 on the season, which we're 3-2-1 in the league, which the American is strong. We're 17th in the country, and we're like middle of the pack, maybe just like slightly above average in terms of like standings in the conference. So, you know, every win counts, but you know, it's going to be an uphill battle all season. And so next up this week, I believe is it tomorrow or Thursday? Just Saturday. So we play on Saturday. We play at Temple. That's Saturday at 6:00. And then we're not back until like next Friday. So only one game this week.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. I'll take us on women's soccer here. It looks like they only had one game last week, and that was a home game versus UCF. And unfortunately, it was a loss, 3-2. UCF gets the win there. They've got two next week. And then we're in conference championship time after these two games. So coming down to the wire here, we've got Memphis on the road. That is on Thursday the 20th at 7:00 Central Time. And then we come back home for the final homestand against SMU, which will be a fun one. SMU at home to end the regular season, just like, it's not like football. Houston is football. Never mind. SMU at home to end the regular season before conference time. That is on Sunday, or conference championship time. That is on Sunday, the 23rd at 1:00. So a couple good ones there. In terms of the women's soccer standings, Tulsa now is at 7-5-3 overall. And in conference, they are 2 wins, 2 losses, and 2 ties. So 2s across the board for them, which is good for 4th place in the league out of 9 right now.
Man, I can't believe it's already, like, looking at that, October 30th is the start.
Crazy.
Of the first round for them. And then flying. The men's is November 6th.
We're
only a couple weeks away.
I know. Yeah, pretty wild. I know. It's flying by. I'll move to women's volleyball here. And looks like we had 2 matches last week. First was on the road against Wichita State. Unfortunately, these are both losses. So tough stretch for the women's volleyball team here as of late. But lost 3-2 on the road at Wichita on the 12th, and then lost 3-1 against Cincinnati. That was on the 16th. So just on Sunday. Coming up, we've got, 2 matches this week, and those are on the road against Tulane. So in New Orleans, that's on Friday at 6:30, and then on the road again, man, the road stretch continues here, on the road at Houston, and that is on Sunday, the 23rd at 1:00 PM. So 2 more matches there. Volleyball still has a lot of season left to go, so a lot of time to pick it back up there. Not looking great so far in terms of conference standings. We're 9-10 overall, 2-5 in the league, which is good for 8th out of 11 in the American. So volleyball a little bit down, which sucks because, you know, I know we got to know that coach in college, Ryan. I'm forgetting his last name. Let me look it up so I can say it. Ryan Wills. Yeah, thank you. Which sucks because I know we got to know the coach in college, Matt, Ryan Wills, and he was always, you know, very active in like the Greek life community. And I'm sure he was going to the dorms and doing the same thing. Like he would come and like actively recruit us to come out to the games. And, you know, it was fun. It was always fun going. And Tulsa actually had a really, really strong women's volleyball team while we were there, and kind of a bummer, to see them down a little bit, so far this season, but maybe they'll bounce back. I don't know. A lot of season left, like we said, but the 2-5 conference start and the 9-10 overall, I'm sure, was not what they were hoping for to start this year. And then I think that is everything except for basketball, and that is a new one because we haven't talked about basketball at all. And this is not going to be our season preview thing. We will do that. We're going to have to do it here pretty soon. Women's basketball season starts on November 7th. And when is men's first game? Do you have that up by chance?
It's also November 7th.
Okay, so both seasons, men's and women's basketball, open it up on the 7th, which means we've got like 2 weeks to do the preview. So that'll be coming at you pretty soon. So not going to get too in-depth here, but just wanted to get, they did the whole like media day stuff for both sides for the American last week. and just wanted to break down the high level there. Look at this for women. We'll start with them. I mean, I haven't, you know, I'm trying to think back for women's basketball preseason media poll. And I mean, it's always been at the bottom, like 9th or 10th, almost every year, right? And we got, after that start last year and the continued success throughout a lot of that season with Angie Nelp and a ton of returning talent, they are picked 4th in the league going into this season, which is, that is just a whole world apart in terms of how you even think about Tulsa women's basketball. That is not something you usually see up there. The usual suspects, I guess, are up there. USF, it's funny, the article I was looking at has South Carolina. That is not them. USF is picked number 1, Houston 2, SMU 3, and Tulsa 4. And then you've got, everybody else after that. So pretty surprising. That is really amazing. A lot of returning talent. We'll get into some more personnel related stuff and what we think is going to go down this year in our basketball preview in the next couple weeks. But I was just really, that surprised me. I mean, I know they had a good year last year and like, it makes sense that they are there, but I feel like even when Tulsa has good years, just like Tulsa as a university, they're always picked a little bit lower. So I was happy to see them 4th.
I think the most interesting for me was UCF dropping all the way down to 8th when.
Yeah, they've been great forever.
Well, I guess now that I think about it, it makes sense because so they made the tournament last year, but I'm pretty sure their coach.
Yeah, she left. For I Georgia. Do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that tracks then. But yeah, so like on top of that ranking, we had 3 players who made preseason, you know, all conference teams. Tamira Poindexter was the first team, and then Maddie Biddle and Maya Mayberry were on the second team.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Those are probably the 3 I would think of as well. Very nice.
I believe other than Maya Mayberry was on the preseason team last year. That is only 1 other player has ever been named to a American like preseason team since we've joined.
Wow. Really? Are you sure? Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense with how we've been, but like, damn, that is like damning. that was pretty rough. Well, cool. I mean, yeah, man, so great for her.
One in 2015, 1 in 2021, 3 in 2022.
Damn, man, that is amazing. Look at that. Look at that. Ancient Elp killing it as usual. That is, man, I'm psyched. That'll be fun. I'm definitely, you know, we watched a lot of women's basketball last year. Definitely going to be watching a lot this year too. And then we got 1 minute left as of our recording here to fit it under an hour. So we're going to fly through men's basketball here. KenPom rankings are out for preseason. Tulsa is at number 153 to start the year. And Tulsa ended the season last season at number 171. So already a little bit of a jump compared to where we ended. I know it's hard to go lower than that when you're a program like TU. 171 is pretty rough. But 153 to start the year in KenPom for Tulsa. And then the KenPom, you know, they do like projected record and all that stuff. 11-16 is the projected record, 6-12 in conference. I saw a good tweet from Tulsa Hop who tweeted out the KenPom stuff right when it came out. And it's the same way I'm feeling about it, right? Nobody expects Tulsa to be good this year. He said, get the young guys development, improve as the season goes on, and beat Houston. Those are his expectations for the year. I'm like, yeah, that's great. And like play a fun style of ball that like people like to watch, you know, passively. So that's all I'm hoping for. I don't think anybody has high expectations for this season. I think there are some flashes of talent. There are some serious flashes of talent on this team with like Pritchard and Griffin and some of the new guys like Josiah McWright and Brian Celebange. I think those guys have some real possibility of being really, really good. So excited for that. And we'll see what happens with the preseason poll. Same kind of deal. We were picked 10th out of 11. East Carolina bringing up the bottom there. Houston, the obvious clear favorite. I listened to the like Ion College Basketball podcast with Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish, and man, they are so high on Houston right now. It's just absolutely insane. Basically calling them a guaranteed Final Four team and a legit, obviously a very legitimate championship contender this year. Said it's the most, possibly the most talented Houston roster in their history, and that goes back to the Fab Five back in like the 80s, you know. So that is pretty scary. I don't think there's, Memphis is there at number 2. I think it's a very wide gap between Houston and Memphis. And then you've got Cincinnati, Tulane coming in at 4th. I mean, look at the wave, like athletics, they're back on it. Temple, UCF, SMU, Wichita State at 8th. That is rough for them, I'm sure. South Florida at 9, then us at 10 and ECU at 11.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, so
but you said okay, let me, you said projected for like 11 wins, right? That's what KenPom has us at, like 11 and 16.
Okay,
because like 11 wins is what we had last year. And so, I mean, if we get 11 again this year with all the changes that are happening on the program, like, I would say that's pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to be excited about 11 wins, but like, at the same time, you know, it's a young team. It's a coach that's gone. You lose Darian Jackson. You lose Jariah Horn, you know, guys like that, right? And those are big time guys who have been with the program for quite a while. So it's a rebuild, obviously. You've got a whole new culture. You got a whole new staff. Everything is different. The style of play is going to be different. The court is different. Like, everything's different, right?
The style of play is what I'm most excited for. Like, am okay losing these games if it's fun basketball.
And that's the thing. Like, is it fun? Is it fast, right? Is it competent basketball? Right? If we don't execute it that well, acceptable, right, for the first year. But is it a style that we can see growing into this team, or this team growing into the style, and how does that look in practice? Cool. Okay. We might be just barely over an hour after cuts and stuff. We will see. It'll be close. It'll be close. You don't think you think we'll be under?
Yes.
Okay. I hope so. I'll wrap us up here briefly, and then we will call it. But seriously, thank you all for listening. Especially, you know, last week was really fun with JJ and everything during the bye week. Appreciate everybody who listened to that one. And we're back on it now with some real preview stuff. So if you're not already, make sure you are following the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Drop us a rating and a review over there while you're following. Really does help. If you want to support us, we do all this for free. Would really appreciate it. You can find a few ways to support the podcast at thegoldenhurricast.com/support. And I think that's it. Finally, you can find us on Twitter at Golden Hurricast, and you can send us an email if you want to. And that email address is thegoldenhurricast@gmail.com. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Stay golden.